Hello everyone, it's me, Ray, and this is our third episode of Waking Up with Ray. I am with my good friend, Corey. Corey, tell us about yourself.
Hi, I'm Corey. Who the fuck am I? For the sake of this episode, I guess, Ray and I went to school together, University of Oregon, Sco Ducks.
School.
I just spent 9 months backpacking around the world, and now I am back to Portland, and my occupation is a stripper.
Oh my god.
Whoa.
Those are also taboo.
Oh, I don't know how the people will deal with it.
They'll figure it out.
So yeah. Corey is a stripper, and we are here to kind of dismantle everything wrong in the way in which she is perpetrated in society, and conversations that I continue to hear, but I don't think that we're really contextually looking at things in the right lens and fully understanding what our rhetoric and our words mean. And so I was like, hey, Corey, let's like dismantle the whole system.
Fuck yeah.
So we did want to kind of start this episode out by talking about the fact that as young girls, we are both older-ish girls who once were younger.
And don't say.
Don't say. I don't know how we got here.
Seriously.
And kind of how just growing up, all the ways in which as young girls, we are over-sexualized and how we are told to behave, which is really contradictive to the way we are treated. So I guess for me, like, my first example would be in middle school when everyone decided it was appropriate to start smacking asses, and how normalized it had been. It was just so okay for little boys to run around smacking girls' butts.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, no wonder I have trust issues, you know?
And even as little girls, we were supposed to just laugh it off or get kind of like roll your eyes and like, ugh, boys.
Yeah, exactly.
And parents would be like, oh, well, he probably likes you.
He probably has a crush on you. Mm. Like, that doesn't mean he can assault my body.
Yep.
Ugh. Which I honestly will say that I think a lot of the ways in which so many structures in society tell boys that that behavior is fine, or they maybe give them a slight slap on the wrist, continues to allow the behavior to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of being, why did you think it was okay to smack her ass?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not. Instead of having the conversation where, like, maybe understanding that they're little boys and that's kind of where their brains are going, because that's how men's brains work. I'm not gonna, like, argue that science, but I'm gonna argue with the way that we decide to deal with the science and not address it.
If your ass gets slapped and you're a kid and you go forth to the principal or something, there's probably just going to be a dress code change.
Yeah.
That's probably what's going to happen. So why hurt yourself? Might as well just suck it up and deal with it.
What did they make you wear, us wear as kids?
I remember in middle school, the principal tried to pass a legging ban. And like, I fucking hate jeans. I don't own one pair of jeans. I am a comfort kid. Always have been, always will be. So I remember being like, leggings, like, what? Like,
are you taking that from me?
But it was just so weird to have to be like, okay, why? And they're like, well, they're see-through. They accentuate the shape of women's curves. And I'm like, okay, you're a 60-year-old man. Why are you even looking at my ass like that? Why are you looking at my ass at all?
Exactly.
Oh.
And that's the thing. It's like, this sounds like a you problem, not a me problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think we really need to perpetrate. Just make them get that this isn't my fault that men are programmed and allowed to behave this way. How have you been treated throughout your life by, obviously, school administrations, by places you've worked? And what have they kind of assumed of you? Like, I feel like a lot of times in my experience, I felt like my worth has been determined by how I am forward-facing, which to a lot of people can come off as a bubbly, dumb blonde.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've dealt with this for for quite a while, and I'm sure a lot of things came up when I was really little, but I think the time when it really started for me was around freshman year of high school. So when I was, how old are you, like 14, 15? I got my genetic bubble butt. It like grew in finally. My grandma has it, my aunt has it, my mom has it, my little sister has it. And so finally, freshman year, it came, and I will never forget one of the most popular girls in the class being like, oh my God, Corey's got a huge butt. And I was mortified, and I covered, I like put a sweatshirt around my waist, and I was like, no, because I didn't know that that was okay, and that there wasn't really much. I feel like suddenly with the Kardashians and shit, it's kind of a cool thing now, but at the time I was like, ugh. And all I could think of that song is, oh my God, Becky, look at her butt, with that like tone
of like ugh. Yeah, distaste. And
yeah, I felt like somehow trashy. I don't know how I felt, but I was just humiliated. And actually in my high school, I really felt like I got the label of like class of 2014 slut, which is hilarious because I was so innocent in high school.
You are such an innocent.
Like, I waited to lose my virginity till I did like the proper steps of getting your boyfriend first, falling in love. I did tell him 6 months, and like 2 weeks later I was like, close enough. But that was the first boy. And when I graduated, I found out all of these rumors had been circulating around of, oh, Corey fucked so-and-so after track sophomore year. I was like, what? All these older guys saying this. And it was, I think, in a large part because of the way I looked. It was easier for people to sexualize me. But I noticed it a lot, too, when I started working. My first job was at a kid's birthday party place. And my boss's daughter worked with me. We had the same pair of black jeans, black skinny jeans. We wore tennis shoes and these tacky green t-shirts covered in pizza stains. And we had comment cards for the birthday parties. We had one comment card one day that said, it was like suggestions to make the parties better. And one of the dads put, they should install stripper poles in the birthday party rooms and have the party hosts go around topless. And we were all 16 years old.
Kidding.
Yeah. So.
I would just like to further in on the fact that this is a child's birthday party venue.
Yeah. And the person filling out this comment was a father of a child having a birthday party here.
That's actually something I meant to bring up earlier, that when you're talking about the legging band, mm-hmm. is that my nieces, they wear those cute little, like, leggings, and like, mm-hmm. if anyone's ever tried to dress a child, it is so challenging, and like, you can give them something that they can put on themselves, yep. as simple as leggings, mm-hmm. and so it's crazy because I look back and I see them running around in these cute leggings, and I'm like,
especially for kids, like sporty, running around, literally. Doing the splits, sitting cross-legged, like
falling in the mud.
You don't want a skirt on or a dress.
Oh my
God.
God damn. Impractical.
But yeah, that was my first real experience with it. That job, I actually remember being 16, all the kitchen staff were like 24-year-old men and boys. And but they were old, and we were, you know, 16. We wanted the older boys to like us, but we had a legging ban also at work because there had been an incident where the guys would be making pizza, they'd rub their hand in the flour, and they'd slap the girls' asses as they walked by. The 16-year-old girls' asses. And I remember feeling like, oh, cute and desired, but looking back, it is just foul that was allowed. And not only was it allowed, but that our bosses blamed us for it by taking away our right to wear leggings at a fucking jungle gym. Now we had to wear jeans, and I hate jeans.
I will get one point across in all of this. Jeans are the devil's.
But yeah, I was pulled aside by my boss and told I wasn't allowed to wear those jeans anymore. I needed to get some that were looser fitting. And they were the exact same brand as my boss's daughter who worked alongside me. Same brand to the T, but my body type was not suited for them because I was distracting the kitchen boys, I was distracting the party dads,
yeah.
with my super sexual outfit with the pizza stains and
black pants,
dirty tennis shoes,
yeah.
like literally covered in sweat, and sometimes kids Various germs.
Wasn't that like jungle place?
In Sherwood?
Mm-hmm. What's it called again?
It was called Safari Sam's.
Safari Sam's! Ah!
Yep, so...
I used to go there as a kid.
Yeah.
Like, that was like the place.
It was. It was pretty problematic. Yeah. And my
what
boss...
Like coming to age though too, mm-hmm. to like have that be something... as a kid that you enjoy.
That's so true.
And then to have your growing up in that environment turn into you being over-sexualized.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. And the place is like not cute. It's like pitch black. It's dark. Like you can't see someone's ass unless you're really looking.
It is just...
Oh.
But yeah, that I'd say that was the beginning. And then fast forward to college, I did several internships in the Family and Human Services program, so social work. My first one was with homeless youth, and did an 11-week internship working with these kids who were between like 14, and I think they were supposed to be between 14 and 18, but somewhere a bit older. But at the very last, shift, I was pulled aside. We were encouraged to wear sweats, our hair up in a bun, no makeup, no jewelry, nothing flashy, just to kind of fit in with the kids, not make them feel so out of place. And we were, basically the job description was to sweep, get dinner ready, but then really just to hang out and make these kids not feel so ostracized, to have kind of role models. And at times we do like resume building skills, all that stuff. But my supervisor, who I really looked up to, pulled me aside on my last shift in 11 weeks and said, like, it's been great having you, but I would recommend that in the future you don't work with boys around your age because I think you're too flirtatious. And I just, like, that was my first internship. I think that was when I was a sophomore. It was like the test internship before we got accepted into the program. And I really sat there and was like, so I can't work in social work unless I'm working with infants or maybe like 100-year-old men. That was a weird one, but I didn't know how to stand up for myself in that moment. So I just took it. I think I internalized it a bit and I went in my car and cried after because I had no intention of flirting with these kids. And I know now that I wasn't.
Yeah.
But that for whatever reason, the way I looked, blonde, I really think there's a weird thing about being blonde and stereotypes. But then just being a bit bubbly and a bit open, a lot of the people I was at that internship with just sat and talked amongst themselves. They weren't really engaging with the kids as much. But for whatever reason, just the way I came across to this woman running the organization was not professional and sexualized. She 100% sexualized me in that by saying that I was coming on to these kids or...
And also, I would just like to say that that is just such a... Like, that's so inappropriate to say.
Yeah.
That you, as a young adult, need to not... Like, who jumps to the conclusion that you in this internship that's supposed to get you through your career pathway in your college degree would have even the thought that, like, you wanted to flirt with boys.
It was insulting. And the boys did flirt. I mean, most of them had horrible social skills. So they tried every chance they would get to try to, like, oh, let me get your Facebook. What are you doing tonight? You know, like, I'd walk out to my car and be like, don't think about it.
Just don't do it.
So, you know, behind the scenes, there were me just trying to be their friend, but also trying to be like, look, no, you know, I'm a professional. We have professional boundaries here. I'm doing this through my school. I'm your friend, but I'm not going to be your friend on Facebook. So it just kind of, you know, 11 weeks of doing that work and having her not acknowledge it at all.
Basically take away
it. Yeah, yeah. It was fucked. And
again, a woman's responsibility for misbehavior.
Yeah, it was insane. So I think going forward from there and all the internships I did, I tried to be... I didn't even choose to do this consciously, but I tried to be less threatening toward other women, which, if for whatever reason, you know, I was in no makeup and a bun and like,
I would just
what
like to
the
say
fuck?
That Corey is a very naturally beautiful human being.
Stop.
I think that is like probably, that's definitely where it comes from, is women being intimidated by your natural beauty. I think that in itself can be really intimidating, but it doesn't mean that.
Wow,
thank you. Because I also run into this issue mm-hmm. where a lot of times I get turned into the bubbly human being.
Mm-hmm.
You're just such a little ray of sunshine. That's what they'll say. And they kind of belittle me to only being allowed to be someone else's energy.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's where my worth lies.
Mm.
And I'm like, I'm actually pretty capable of a few other things, I like to think.
Yeah. So, well, and like the main thing about social work to me was just helping people. Like, how can you judge me so quick? I'm literally here on my own time for free to help people. Like, it was just it was the last place I expected to be judged, really. But I did several other internships, and I ended up doing one with the prison system in Oregon. I've always been really interested in kind of like criminology and deviance and stuff. So I worked with Department of Corrections for Oregon. And the same thing happened there with a supervisor who was only a few years older than me. She was super pretty. She'd worked at H&M before retail and stuff. So she always had like great outfits, great hair, great makeup. And if anything, I felt like, hey, she's a young woman in this profession, which is very rare. I'm sure she faces the same stuff exactly, the same, like, really work with incarcerated men.
Yeah.
And the same thing happened with where she didn't give me any feedback on things I could have done differently for 11 weeks, but at the end, she wrote me up for not being professional enough, and her feedback to me before we went on a prison tour one day, which I wore slacks, like, went out and bought. I looked like a fucking lawyer walking around. Did like the most minimal but still professional makeup. I didn't really curl my hair, but I made sure it was brushed and, you know, basic things.
General hygiene,
but nothing above and beyond, because God forbid someone's, you know, professional and sexy. They can only be like professional
one
and put together.
Gotcha.
But we go into this, or we're about to go into the tour. She's already seen this outfit one other tour. And then the next tour, before we go, the day before, she goes, remember we're doing the tour tomorrow, and remember this isn't a beauty pageant and you're not here to get a boyfriend. And she says this to my face in front of the other internee. We literally carpooled up from Eugene every day. She doesn't tell her that. She tells that directly to me. And I just kind of laughed it off because I was like, well, no shit, I'm not here to get a boyfriend. Like, what?
All of this is like very, very clear proponents of sexual harassment in the workplace.
By women. Yeah.
And that's actually something that I think would be interesting to break down too, because that has something, especially like I obviously am still fucking around with whatever I'm going to do with my life, but a lot of my friends have started to enter the workforce, and it really, really sucks to be lucky that your female boss or your female counterpart isn't going to see you as a competition, isn't going to over-sexualize you like everybody else in that facility is going to. Like, it really sucks when women jump in to all these forms of misogyny and create the exact same issue that they have been arguing for themselves. I think a lot of time women think that the argument's strictly for them. They don't see how it perpetrates itself at all.
And it's like that, I'm not like other girls.
Oh.
What the fuck is wrong with being like other girls?
Yes, what's wrong with being a girl?
What?
Because that's the thing too, and this is something I talk about a lot, where when you talk about like feminism and all these like structures of like institutionalized misogyny, you think about the fact that in order for women to be successful, they need to act like a man. And there's no success isn't outlined in what society deems as feminine. Success is outlined in what society deems as masculine, which I will also argue is exactly why we are in all the shit we're in, is because we've let men rule this world for so long and just like fucking ram through with all that testosterone into everything. I'm like, violence has never been the solution, and yet we let violent men run our offices, be in charge of war, and then we're like, how did we get here? And we're just like, I don't know, man. I don't know how we got here.
Yep.
But I'm like, I do.
We all do.
Yeah.
All the women kind of do.
Women, look it in the history book. You will see exactly how we got here.
Yep.
So, something, I'm gonna like go kind of into my little like thing, but something for me growing up was, I compare myself to Taylor Swift a lot, strictly in the sense that a lot of, like, what she writes about and, like, has written music about is talking about, and, like, don't get me wrong, she has been a perpetrator of everything that we've talked about. Like, she has written songs that slut shame and, like, put women in their place, and, like, she makes it sound like she's so much better than people strictly because she's abided by all these societal rules, which I would disagree with.
Mm-hmm.
But something that
we're all learning.
Exactly, yeah. But something that I think that I've noticed her struggle with, and I think that I struggled with at a very young age, was being very uncomfortable with my own sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
Because from the beginning, you are told there are two types of women in this world. There are sluts, and there are good girls. And there's no in between. And for someone like me, who, like, has had really just, like, life kick the shit out of me a few times, being the good girl wasn't really ever an achievable option, because I like to argue. I like to fight.
Mm-hmm.
I am a scrappy woman.
Mm-hmm.
But I always felt like I was less when I allowed my strength to show.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, too, it made it to where, like, I also had rumors go around about me being pregnant when I was 13. There was a rumor I was pregnant. And that's kind of like my Planned Parenthood story, but it kind of became this whole thing in fear of what everyone around me was going to say.
Mm-hmm.
And in spite of, like, it's like, that wasn't even a true rumor, and it, like, took so much of my confidence in myself from me, and it told me that behaving that way means rumors get spread and people will say things about you.
Yep.
And half the time they're not even true.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes away your comfortability with your sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you feel like you can't be sexual because society has called you all these awful things for things you haven't even done yet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the reasons that I'm so inspired by you in so many ways, because, like, you've dealt with all of that. And then you're able to go out there and get in front of tons of, you know, I don't know how all the men behave, but, like, you know, questionable men.
Strangers.
And you do it in a way in which you are doing this for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you are, and you instilled that confidence. Like, you reclaimed your sexuality in this entire experience that you're doing. And
I mean, even just hearing you say that brings up for me, like, I tried to fight that label of being a slut for so long.
Yeah.
And finally I was like, you know, there are worse things to be.
Yeah.
Like, what is a slut? Somebody who enjoys sex, who has a lot of it. Like, where's the problem there? And the funny thing is, most of my coworkers and I aren't even that sexual in real life. Like we all, like, knit in the back room and, like, do yoga and have, like, plant parties. And we're all, like, granola people. We just chill. But like, we all sip tea, but just
the back of the strip club with a tea party going on.
You would not believe what goes on in the locker room, but it is not as exciting as you think.
No.
But yeah, just when I first started stripping, I think I thought I was going to keep it a secret, even though I didn't feel ashamed of it. I was like, people won't understand. And it took me, like, maybe 2 months of keeping it a secret before I was like, actually, I'm not only not ashamed of this, but I'm proud of this. And so when I first posted about it, I knew people were going to unfollow me. I knew I was going to get creepy DMs. But I just was like, I have no problem with the label of being a slut. If that's really, if people can't think past that, I'll take it. Finally take it. I think a lot of strippers and women in general have just really reclaimed that word. And, like, go ahead, try to slut shame me. See if it bothers me.
I always fall back on, I'm like, I'm a slut, you're a slut. Like, you know, like, anytime.
We're all sluts.
Yeah. But especially, like, anytime a man tries to say something like that to me, I'm like, honey, I promise you, you've gotten around town more than I have, okay? Like, why do you get to be a slut?
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm a slut, it's a bad thing.
Mm-hmm. No, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, men are just like little rabbits. Like, they just, like, some of my friends that I, like, grew up with, by the end of college, the amount of women I'd known that had slept with some of them. I'm just like,
Eskimo sisters.
Literally, all these Eskimo sisters. And we're just like, bro, like, Yep. Chill out.
Yeah, no, it's insane. Just, but taking ownership of that, exactly. Yeah. Like, if men can be sluts, I want to be a slut too. If this is what it's, if this is where we're at, then I don't want to keep falling into this box of being the smart one or the good one, exactly. Like, I,
because men get to be every box.
Men get to be all of it all the time. And that's what was so insane is on my first shift, I was so scared, like so nervous getting up on stage, but the women that were there, you always start on your audition pretty early in the day, so no customers are really there. And there was actually only one other stripper there when I went in, and she walked right up on stage with me. She showed me a couple like really basic moves, which looking back is, you know, that's her giving away some of her profit in theory to help me out.
Sisterhood,
man. Yeah, seriously. But just picking a song that I felt good dancing to and then getting naked to it and having people shower me literally in money, like, where is that degrading? I haven't found that yet. It was one of the first moments where I really felt like sexy and beautiful and just like, even in bed, I feel like you always do that with the lights dimmed, or you don't want to put too much, like, I don't know, like, oomph slow into it, because they're going to think you're too experienced.
Yeah.
This girl's been around. How is she so good at giving head? Bitch, I'm just good at giving head. But but at work, it's, you're expected to do that, and it's, you're rewarded for doing that, and it's really such an amazing...
Something that now I would want to go kind of break down into, mm-hmm. is, you know, we've talked about how kind of our society tells women how to behave, and then when we either fall into those categories that they've put us in, or we don't fall into those categories that we fall into, always at the end of the day, all the rules are determined by men.
Mm-hmm.
And I think something that I know that you've, like, we've talked about a bit has been about all the lack of regulation and safety that goes into professions like strip clubs
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that, and how, like in the state of Oregon, has some of the least amount of restrictions
yeah.
on what people can do to women.
Yeah, and it's really, really hard to explain. This one is always, I can't speak for everybody else. Everybody has different feelings toward the rules. I personally like Oregon being so relaxed because I think it's easier to make money sometimes. I think people spend more money. I think people have a better time. But there are flip sides to that where, yeah, Oregon allows touching and lap dances. And then I've even heard from some people like, well, not technically. And I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ, am I breaking a law here? But like, yeah, even at clubs, we don't always get straightforward rules and expectations, but one of the biggest contrasts for me is at work, I feel more in control of my body than I have waitressing or doing other jobs before. Actually, at a waitressing job I had in high school, I had somebody slap my butt when I was walking by with a tray, and when I went to my boss to tell them about it, they were like, well, if you want to lose your tip, I can put a guy on the table if you can't handle it. And so I just had to put a smile on my face. In the strip club, even though there is a lot of touching and stuff that goes on, it's all based off of consent. You ask before you do something, you pay before you do something. It's kind of a conversation, it's boundaries. People will always try to break those boundaries, but...
I feel like you have more ability to stand up for yourself.
100%. And yeah, I was at the bar once standing, and a guy came up, full-blown smacked my butt so hard that it left a little handprint. And I kept myself calm, but I turned to him. I was like, you owe me $100 right now, or I'm getting you thrown out of this fucking club. Like, cussing to his face. I was in my heels, so I was like eye to eye with him for once, because I'm 5'3 in real life. And yeah, I wouldn't have been able to tell the guy at the restaurant that. I would have been the psycho waitress that was filmed on YouTube. So in this moment, you know, I told him that, and he was like, okay, well, you know, fuck you. Your ass wasn't worth slapping or something. And I was like, okay, first of all, I got a good ass. But I walk right over to the bouncer, and I'm like, so this guy just assaulted me, and he's getting thrown out. And the bouncer did throw him out, but he did it in a little bit too kind of a way. He was new, but also not one of the best clubs I've worked at. Mm-hmm. But I even followed the guy to the door. He goes, well, I'm going to finish my drink first because he just bought it. And I stuck my hand in his drink and scooped the ice and all. I literally scooped his drink out with my hand and like flung it all over his little like white tracksuit and all over the floor. And I was like, looks like your drink's done now. And I got so in his face. I was giving him that like look of like, go ahead, hit me. Like, let's start this because my bouncer's right here.
I'd love to see
all the girls would back me up if they saw poor little me. Oh my God. He would have a fucking 8-inch heel in his eyeball by the end of the night. But yeah, it was, so he gets kicked out. He's cussing me out. You ugly anyway, bitch. And I was like, okay. But I was like beaming as he got kicked out because I was like, yes, like this would have never happened in another job, you know? Now it is shitty that my ass had to get slapped in the first place. But that's happened at Taylor's Bar 400 times.
Yeah.
And I've just taken it. But in this place where there's money and consent and everything's structured, I couldn't. That was just so not okay. And it's actually helped me with my boundaries in the real world now.
Mm-hmm.
To where if I am at a bar and someone like does a little, oh, excuse me, I'm going to squeeze by you, ass slap, grab, dick rub, whatever.
Yeah.
I turn around and I'm like, excuse me? Why are you in my space? Why are you touching me? Are you going to pay me for that? Like,
yeah, I would have like swung.
So it's really made me learn to stand up for myself. But yeah, it is such a weird contrast because there are, a lot of stripping is having to constantly reestablish boundaries. A lot of people don't respect boundaries because, oh, we're all just a bunch of strippers. We're all, you know, that's what we're expecting by being in this environment. But it's interesting because the clubs, if you work for a good club, there are clubs that aren't good, but if you work for a good club, the clubs really do have your back almost always in my experience. And it really is overwhelmingly society that is the problem. And that's where it gets really complicated with legality. And I know California has experimented with having strippers become like employees instead of independent contractors. That was kind of like a union thing that people were working for. I really haven't done as much research as I should into it, but I know it hasn't worked out perfectly. So I think a lot of us are on the fence about, you know, part of this job. Part of keeping this job taboo is, it is beneficial for everybody in the long run, but certain elements of it. The thing about strippers deserving whatever they get in the club, I think society even putting that out there and then having those types of fuckers come into the club, that's what the problem is. If people come into the club saying, well, you should just expect to be assaulted. You're selling your body. You're not in control of it anymore. That's not what stripping is to me. That's not what it is to most of my coworkers and I, and that's really not what it is to management and the rules of the club. And I've seen bouncers drag many people out. And the club I'm at right now is the best I've ever had with that, where I know if somebody even touches my ankle the wrong way, they're out. And if they put up a fight, they're going to get knocked out cold. It's happened. It's a toss-up, but one of the things... So in my 9 months of backpacking, I met this psycho Italian guy, full-blown psycho. We had like a little romantic fling and we decided to room together in Bali. God damn it. And I'm like, oh, I'm like, eat, pray, love. Like I need to be open to this because I've been a little bit closed off. But anyway, the guy turned out to be completely crazy. At one point, tried to get me to fall off the scooter that we were on. Like, he stopped and then, like, revved the engine. Anyway, full-blown psycho. So I got out of that as quick as I could, got all my money back. But I did tell my parents about it, interestingly enough, on a FaceTime call. Like, ugh, I was with this guy. I'm not with him anymore. I'm good. I'm safe. Whatever. And the weirdest thing is 9 months later, well, this happened like 5 months ago, but I get back to the States. I'm living with my parents for a couple weeks, getting everything established. And my dad, out of the blue, looks at me and goes, so that Italian guy. And I was like, what? Where is this coming from? And he's like, did he go, you know, in your words, full psycho on you before or after you told him you were a stripper? It was the most out of the blue. I was like, what? Like, where did this even come from? And he was just like, because if you told him, if he was normal and then you told him you were a stripper, it makes a lot of sense why he would suddenly treat you different. And I was like, but does it? And are you giving him permission? Okay? To treat me like that because of that. And he was like, oh, I'm just saying. And I'm like, you are the type of person, this is even weird to say, it's my dad, but like, you are the type of person that would come into a strip club and think you own the fucking place and that these women are objects. Honestly, 80% of my customers, I would say, are not like that at all. They are more respectful than the average person because they are trying to get you to like them. They're trying to get your affection. They're paying you for it, but a lot of them are really, really sweet. And they know that if you're being an asshole, if the customer is being an asshole, you're just going to walk away because there's other places to get money in the club.
Yeah.
So.
I think it's interesting, too, that you bring that up because I think sometimes something that people don't really realize is a lot of times it's just men that are, like, so lonely.
Oh, my God.
That it's, like, that's them just trying to have any form of a relationship.
Studying therapy and stuff prepared me for this job more than any pole dancing and stuff ever will. I've had so many people where we go to give a lap dance and they don't even want me to take off their clothes. They just want me to sit kind of like half on their lap and like hug them and just like lay on them and just kind of like tell me about your life. And one of my most insane moments was down in Eugene, actually. I had this guy, young guy, come in with his friends. They were acting like they were all just shots of Henny all night and all that kind of stuff. But we go back to do a dance. Doing my dance and he's like, look, it's not you, but I'm just really not into this. And I was kind of like, oh, okay. And he's like, you can just sit. And the second I sit down, he like is holding back tears and he's like, my mom died 2 weeks ago. And he's like, my friends wanted to take me out to get me drunk and just like forget about it. But he's like, that's not what I wanted. I don't want to forget about her. And we just sat there and I actually stopped charging him. I just was like, pay me for the, you know, first dance. But I just sat back there with him for like 20 minutes and let him like basically cry it out. And it was just such a, it was insane. Like, the people don't come in there for sex. I mean, they come in there to see beautiful women. Some of them are a little bit creepy, but a lot of them.
There's creepy men everywhere.
Yeah, there's creepy men everywhere. But a lot of them, yeah, it's just, a lot of them are lonely and they don't have, you know, therapy is still taboo. Strip clubs are less taboo than therapy for a lot of men, so. It really is a fascinating world, but that interaction, I will never forget that, because that's where I was like, that my job, I just helped this guy out, and yeah, I don't know.
I think it's like a lot of times people are just like dealing with their pain,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes the easiest way to deal with your pain is to drown it out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying it's the healthiest way,
mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people deal with their pain in very similar but different ways,
right?
Where they're, it's a purity test on like
mm-hmm.
how you deal with your pain.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, that was great. That was all really great.
Thanks.
Yeah. I guess, Corey, thank you so much for doing this with us. Us.
Just read run it all.
Someone else in the room.
Just us. But I think that your life story holds a lot of truth and a lot of weight. And so hopefully people listen to it.
You know.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
this has been Waking Up with Ray. Thank you.